Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Philosophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
Philosophy.
My name is Ollie.
My name is Iki.
And how's it going, bro?
I'm chilling like a villain. How are you doing?
I am fantastic, my friend. And I am super excited to welcome someone very special to the podcast. And I was thinking about trying to intro them in a new way that we haven't tried before.
What is that way, Ollie?
I'm just going to give a quick recap of this gentleman's achievements.
Okay.
He is a IBJJF world champion, a 2 times IBJJF European champion, a Brazilian national champion. He has coached some of the greatest jiu-jitsu athletes in the world. He runs a jiu-jitsu team with a good friend of ours on the podcast, Mr. Robert Drysdale.
Yes.
And he also is part of a project I'm super proud of, Black Belt Magazine Jiu-Jitsu. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast Mr. Rodrigo Cavaca.
Hey. Hello, guys. It's a big pleasure for me to be here with you guys, and we're going to talk about our life, you know? Jiu-Jitsu is our life, and it's a pleasure for me when I have the opportunity to talk about this topic.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad to hear it, because this is a jiu-jitsu podcast.
Yeah.
And we are going to ask you the first question we ask everyone who comes on our podcast, which is, how did you get into jiu-jitsu?
I started jiu-jitsu 1999, you know, and I played indoor soccer, you know, when I was youngest. And a friend of mine invited me many times, come on, I'm gonna train jiu-jitsu. What mean jiu-jitsu? Come on. And no, it's a martial arts. Then it was like grappling, judo, a little things together, you know, and man, come on, it's very strange for me. I'm a soccer player. Come on, how am I gonna fight? How am I gonna train martial arts? No, come on. A lot of times, okay. One day, I went there, and man, yeah, I needed this 1 hour practice a little bit, and was a start my passion for jiu-jitsu, and man, and 22 years training never stopped. And I started a little later, no, with I was 19 years old, 1 month to complete 20 years old, but I don't know what happened with my mind. Then I get this opportunity to train each time more and more, and when I look back, I was training 5 years and I was black belt, you know, and I got my black belt in 5 years, because for me it was very simple, because I trained soccer, and it's normal training 3-4 hours per day. No, I competed a lot, and when I started jiu-jitsu, it was simple for me training 3, 4, 5, 6 hours per day, you know. And when I understood that that jiu-jitsu, that's what I went to my life, I started when I decided to leave jiu-jitsu was in 2004, when I was world champion the first time in the purple belt in Rio de Janeiro, in Tijuca Tennis Club. And I decided, no, I want the jiu-jitsu for my life. And I start training 2, 3, 4 times more than I trained before. And I had around 3, 4 sessions per day, never stop. And I still, for training like this for 10 years, you know? And because this, I could understand that if I train more than my opponents, I start later, but if I train more, I can arrive, you know? Because for me, simple, if you have more hours on the mat, I get evolution, you know? And if I train 1 hour per day, 2 hours per day, and my opponents, opponents training 2, 3 hours the same time that me, we have a big distance between me and the guys, you know? But when I decided to live, put my life, all my life in jiu-jitsu, I put in my mind that I needed to train more and more and more, 3 times, 4 times more than my opponents, you know? And I start and never stop. And one advantage for me that when I started later, but I was smart because I was in the university, I studied, I worked, you know, I passed the youngest age, you know? Then I think, what am I gonna do with my life? No, when I decided, and I find the way, what's the best way to go to make my life, you know, and jiu-jitsu. And I follow the people that had the success, you know, like I had big examples in my career, like Roger Gracie, like Master Liborio, like Fabio Gurgel, like a lot of guys that generations before my generation, you know, and then they give me the way that I needed to go, you know? And I follow these guys, and they are big examples for me until today, you know? And for me, it was difficult, yes, but when I decided and when I followed the people that had the success, was simple, you know? I needed to work hard only, you know? And but it was interesting that when I was blue belt in Santos, I live in Santos, you know, and I born in Santos here, and I'm here in Santos now. And Santos is a small city from São Paulo, right? São Paulo capital. Is my city is 1 hour driving to São Paulo. And it's very simple for me. When I was blue belt, I started training, and I got my first medal in the world championship as a third place in worlds, you know? And I can do this, you know, I can do this. Yeah, and start. But it's not my my decision to live from jiu-jitsu. But next year I train a little more, and man, I can do more. I can be world champion. In 2004, I did, but it was when I changed the key, you know, about my decision. I was the first in my city that went to be a black belt world champion. What I gonna do now, man? I need to go some place than the guys did this before, because here in Santos nobody want this. And what they gonna do? I moved to São Paulo. I found who are the best fighters in the world. When I found Leo Vieira in Brazza, and we were a big team, man. Leo Vieira, Demian Maia, Lucas Leite, André Galvão, Mendes Brothers, Lapela, Ramon Lemos, man, a lot of guys, Rodrigo Comprido, Ricardo Vieira, a lot of guys train every day together, you know? And I needed training for these guys. And then I decided, okay, I'm gonna invest my time, I'm gonna invest my all my money, you know? That time I had short money, it's difficult, but no problem. I invest this and that in the future, I'm gonna pay back. and drive 3 hours per day, then 1 hour, 30 minutes. I train, I wake up every day in Santos here around 7 a.m. and training conditional classes here. And okay, finish conditional, go in my car and jump in my car and drive 1 hour, 30 minutes, arrive there in São Paulo, train 3 hours with 1 hour and a half gi, 1 hour and a half no gi. Man, shower, lunch, back Santos, arrive in Santos. And I had 4 classes to teach, you know, every day this, arrive at home around the 11 p.m. Man, I did this 4 years, every day. No, and but for me it's was a pleasure because I could see the opportunity to get my objectives. No, you know, for me is I give my 100% every day. No, because I understood that was my chance. No, and when my level changed. When I was Cavaca before Braza, I was another Cavaca after training with these world champions. You know, and for me was the big change of my life, of my career, when I moved to São Paulo to train with these guys. You know, and my career started this, and in 2006 arrived there in Braza. 2008 we create a check match together, Leo Vieira. No, we found a check match together, Leo Vieira. And 2013, we start Zenith with Drysdale. I met Drysdale in Braza in 2006. I fought with Drysdale 2005 in my first tournament in São Paulo. He beat me 3-0. That's my one. And Robert was world champion, you know, in 2005 he was world champion in Tijuca as in the black belt world champion, and he's was the tough guy that I trained all my life, you know. And we stay every day on the mat, you know, and we start a big friendship, you know. And when they had the opportunity to mount the team, man, I didn't think 2 times. I man, come on, gonna mount our team together because we have a similar mind, similar objectives. You know, you can do a good job together. You know, introducing my a little bit of my story.
Oh. I'm just trying to imagine what that training, that competition training must have been like. Insane. When you were at Braza with some of those big names.
It's crazy, you know, and I have interesting stories, man, because when I arrived there, and example, when I live in Santos, I was the top guy here, you know, and the competitor, the heavyweight guy, and I won all the big tournaments, national awards in the purple, brown, but when I arrived there, man, the guy's killing me all every day. No, the example, Drysdale, man, he's a beast. Drysdale, man, in Santos, nobody, example, submit me. And my first time there, I trained, I remember with Drysdale, he submit 5 times in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Man. I stopped between the spark gi, 1 hour, 30 minutes, no gi. Man, when I finished the first session, I go in the bathroom, man, to vomit. It's crazy. Never did this in my life. And it was another level. And I saw many crazy things there. I saw when André Galvão arrived in Brazil, André Galvão didn't know nothing about no gi. Man, well, like a kid. Yeah. And Leo Vieira taught him a lot of crazy stuff, you know, and he learned and changed the level. And 2007, we went to ADCC we had the camp for ADCC 2007 in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, with the Pablo Popovich Academy there. We stayed there, man, it's like crazy. We had a big house, you know, and all the Brazil team stayed there. And all the team, man, it was crazy. One giant house, but only crazy fighters in the house. All the team, me, Demian Maia, Leo Vieira, André Galvão, Robert Drysdale, Lucas Leite, Marcel Lousado, Ricardo Vieira, and man, crazy, a lot of guys. And man, no TV, nothing in the house, nothing. And they stayed there around 40 days in the house, everybody together. Train, no cars, no TV, nothing. We need to stay the car, the guys, pick up us to go to the gym, you know, and to train. Gym to the house, the gym. Man, 40 days, crazy. And one moment, man, we trained hard, but one moment everybody be crazy, you know. Everybody fought in the house. It was crazy. And André Galvão and Marcel Lousada, they fought a lot of times. The guys happened same, many things, and the guy crossed, stepped on the bed of the other guy, and come on, man, you're crazy. Come on. The guy's fought in the house. Man, crazy, because, man, we were crazy because we training hard, two sessions per day, man, a lot of fires, you know, and a lot of pressure, everybody cut weight, you know, and was crazy. And but was the fantastic moment for me, in my opinion, that I put all the team together, you know, and we connected the people there. And when we went to compete ADCC, man, Braza, man, make four champions.
Yeah.
You know, Demian Maia, Drysdale, submit Marcelo Garcia in the final. You know, Demian Maia won. André Galvão to go to third places and his division and absolute. And was nice. And it was a big moment, but a fun moment, but it's a big moment in the story, you know, in this situation. But in this moment, like I said, André Galvão started a no-gi sessions, you know? And when I arrived in Brazil 2005, example, he didn't know nothing, you know? And but I could see his evolution because Leo Vieira taught him a lot of techniques. And Leo Vieira, man, was one of the best fighters in no-gi, you know, in the world. And this moment after this and after the ADCC, the Brazil separate, you know, and the people, André moved with Ramon Lemos and start with Fiato's team. We moved to Checkmate, and from Checkmate we mounted Zenit, you know, and was nice. But that team in the Brazil between 2005 and 2007, man, was incredible. A special moment in my life, in my career, and for these guys too.
It's crazy that, because André Galvão is now what, six times ADCC champ?
Yeah.
Super fight, which is obviously I'm keen to see what you think, but the pinnacle of no-gi grappling, right? Yeah. It's yeah, you know, the one competition.
It's interesting when André arrived there and Leo Vieira, because Leo Vieira and Tererê were the big friends, you know? And they Tererê and Leo Vieira lived together when they train in Allianz, you know? And Tererê stay, had many problems in the about the situation that he had, and stay a little crazy, you know? And now I not teach more. And okay, don't worry. And he take André Galvão and Leo, por favor, please help Andre for me, because he need a good coach and he's a nice guy. He's a nice competitor. Okay, Liu, take it, because he did it. Say it for him. No, and he stay. And Liu Vieira start teach Andre every day. It was crazy because Andre stay around Liu Vieira together. Liu Vieira all day, all the time. And Leo Vieira show him the life, no show only techniques, show the life, give a lot of opportunities to work, to sponsors, you know, and give a nice opportunity in his life. You know, he put in the Andre Galvão in the ADCC the first time, you know, and in my opinion, Andre learned. No, grappling with Leo Vieira. No, is who lived that time in that moment gonna agree about this, you know? And this is a part of the story, you know. And we can see, like you said, now Andre is six times, yeah. You know, ADCC champion. He's the man of the ADCC, you know. And it's fantastic how he's there. How is he? He is very smart, very intelligent, you know, and he can do what he need to do, you know, when he fight. You know, he's different, he's very different, but he had the sport.
You know, one thing that's almost crazy, it's like from that moment, from 2005 to 2007, these are all guys that are at the top of their game, but it's almost impossible for them to be together forever, right? Because it's like a life. So many things.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah.
This situation is normal happen. Eh? You can see a lot of teams. Today for me is very common. No, think about who trained for me and who passed here in Santos. Man, a lot of your champions from here. No, and we had in our story here 14 world champions. No, but man, how gonna control everybody together? Is it possible?
Yeah.
The people need to live, because in Brazil it's difficult to make money, to live, to have a good life in jiu-jitsu. You need to go to US, Europe, no, and Australia, New Zealand, first world, you know. Mm. And in Brazil it's very difficult to control a lot of people many times together. When you get one new, a different level, no, the opportunity's gonna come. You need to go. You need to go. Like happened one year ago, when Felipe Andrew moved to Allianz. You need to understand, man. It's the life. It's the life. You need to agree. You need to agree about this, because we want to the guys have a good life, you know, make his damn stories, you know. Mm-hmm. they need and we, how as the professors, the leaders, we need to agree about these situations. It's very common, it's simple, and the old school mind for a lot of people don't agree, but man, gonna lost time.
The other name that's in there, because like you said, you were rolling with people at the top of their game, world champions. But the other name that stands out to me is Damian Maia, because he went the UFC route, and I think I'm right in saying still competing to today, right?
Yeah, he's fighting in 2 weekends.
He's fighting in 2 weekends time.
Yeah. He'll be the last.
Yeah. How did you know at the time? Was he open about the fact he wanted to go into MMA, or you know, did he talk about that at all?
No, never. And I live in the US in 2000, between 2010 to 2011. We had in our gym there a lot of good fighters. And the same moment when I lived there, who trained for me that time was Edson Barbosa, Marlon Moraes, you know, Bigfoot, Banha. A lot of guys, you know, that time, and Bochecha lived with me there. When I moved there, he moved with me. But the guys invited sometimes me, just the guys to fight to start. But man, I never like MMA. You know, and if I can have a good life with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, man, why we're gonna fight? I'm gonna train MMA. But for me, it's not in my opinion. The a lot of 90% of the guys from Jiu-Jitsu that move to change to MMA and because of money, to make money only, not have another objective, because man, Jiu-Jitsu is so difficult to make money from the tournaments, and but you need to learn Jiu-Jitsu teach you how you make money with the medals. You need work two times and the double. No, you work hard between years to get medals and to make the name and to learn the methods to teach in the future. And after this, you have the story, you make money for the medals, if they make money around a big team. No, but who moved to MMA because money and 10%, I think, that want to a new challenge, but 90%. Cause money. I never, and how I had a good life, you know, it's not no good life to money. No, I'm not rich, but I always have a good life. I make my money. I have my story from the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think that is much better to stay training. No punch on the face, nothing. I stay here, relax, training, doing what I love and know, and teaching, have my team, my affiliates, my students, seminars, private classes, and compete a little bit. It's my life.
Of course, it probably seems apt to mention that there is someone who has just transitioned over into MMA, which is, of course, an old student of yours. Mr. Bushesha is lining up a fight in MMA. Any thoughts on how you think he'll get on?
Man, in my opinion, example, Bushesha is not... It's not. It's difficult to say about... To say something about this because... Bushesha stayed with me last time in 2013, no? And 8 years, the time passed fast, 8 years ago, no? And but until Bushesha stayed with me, it was difficult to think about Bushesha severe punches the face because it's not his characteristics, no? And Bushesha, he's one intelligent guy, smart guy, very technical, but is, man, I think that for you to try MMA, you need to be hungry, you know, you need to be, man, me like a coach, I had some experiences from the MMA fighters. I coached some guys, you know, in UFC. You can't be 100% a good person. You need to be 10%, man. You understand? You need to be 10% a little crazy, no? A bad guy.
Yeah, a mean
street. Yeah. And Bushesha. He didn't have this hurt. And then for me, it's difficult to see him. Man, come on, Bushesha, punch his face, man. No, for me, in my opinion, it's very difficult. Like we saw many guys from Jiu-Jitsu try and back to BJJ, like Marcelo Garcia, Xande Ribeiro, Braulio Stima, Roger Gracie, man, come on. You see, but look, when you compare other guys, you're gonna compare the mentality, how the guys are hungry. Like now, you say Jacare, yeah. Can you see the difference from Jacare and Roger Grace? Yeah,
Roger
Grace, no characters to MMA, but Jacare hat. Yeah. And like example, Jose Aldo, man, come on, look at the eyes, you know, and you can feel the guy that he's ready to fight MMA, you know. And but now Marcelo Garcia, come on, man. He's, man, he's 100% a nice guy, man. Come on.
Who was the other one I was thinking of? Fabricio Verdum, who we who I spoke
Fabricio
to.
Verdum, yeah.
He had an interesting one a couple of weekends ago where it looked like a tap and then he let go and there wasn't a tap and then he got it overturned and
Think Marcelo Garcia, man. If you're gonna come on, he mounted the guy. Man, come on. Never he gonna punch the guy.
Stole for points.
Never he gonna punch the opponent. It'd be crazy.
And another crazy moment in your career was, you fought with Bushesha in 2013, and then was he already your student then, or did he become your student later?
Yeah, no, because we fought in 2013 in World Pro, because we closed the bracket, you know, and when you back on the tournament and we finished the semifinal, me on one side, which is another side, and we moved to the hotels to stay because the final will be 5 hours later, when I arrived. Okay, gonna rest a little bit. When you step back on the tournament, the guys come and Kavaka, we need to fight with Bushesha. I thought, why? Because the Sheikh said if you guys don't fight, you don't pay the brand, you don't pay the come on, man. Man. Crazy, all right. Because it's live on the TV, you know, and all the country gonna watch, all the country here and he wanna watch. We're gonna roll like in the gym. But we decided that we won, you know, and we fought, we trained hard there, and we give it. Example 7%, 8% of my total, and he's the same. And we fought there a little bit, but we combined the result before the fight. And but 2013 was good because we had the objective, you know, in our career, because our dream, our main objective was close the black belt championship, world championship, you know, in IBJJF. You know, and in everyday story, the student and the professor stay in the same division and close at the world championship. You know, and man, and we did in the first time in the story, and we closed the ultra heavy division in 2013, and was a big moment for us, and it was very nice, and we put our name in the story. Because this, you know, and I don't know if possible one day this situation repeat sometime, but for us it was nice. For me, it's interesting because I was 33 years old, you know, and I was master, and the two times and I won the in 2010, and I had 31. And 2013, I was 33 years old, and I was master, you know, and the two times that I got the awards, and but 2013 was a very special moment for me and for him, because I was with two knees destroyer. I was with my two ACLs, no ACLs on the knees, and my ligaments was broke, I talked with my doctor 3 months before the tournament, and man, I need to try. You're gonna help me, Kavaka. Gonna help me. Gonna work hard, physical therapy all the every day, and we're gonna try. All right, we go. And I compete in ultra heavy I remember the day when I checked the weight, I was with 97 kilos with gi. Yeah, I was 95. My weight there, 95 kilos, 2 kilos gi to 97, and the ultra heavy start 100 kilos.
100, yeah, know? Yeah.
And I fought weak and light for the division, no? But I put all my focus on that objective, and nobody could move my focus, you know, that year, because I was giving 100% every day to get this moment, because for me it will be the last moment. But it will be the last, because I understood that I will stop in the more 1-2 years to compete in high level, you know. Because I give out my 100%, you know, and no ligaments, no weight, no power, nothing.
I've always thought this was a stupid question, but if Kavaka did it, I suppose I'm allowed to ask. If you come in underweight, you don't get disqualified, right? They just look at you and say, well, okay, if you want to fight, you can fight. Like,
Sorry?
You don't get disqualified for being underweight, right? Like, you can be disqualified for being overweight, but you can't get disqualified for being under.
No.
I've just never heard of an example of it happening.
Yeah, it's always the opposite.
Yeah, you're always trying to lose that weight, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, like, what you're saying now about, like, having this focus that nobody will move my focus from my goal. Because a lot of times, I think, in many things in life, it's like, it never starts with a big thing that is going to move our focus away. Is always like a small thing here, a small thing there, and next thing we know, we're not doing the thing we said we're going to do. So, like, I think, for example, Bushesh is someone that he competed at high level winning for so long that it's like, it's a record that probably nobody's going to break. It's so hard to break. But, like, how training, being part of that, what do you think made him go from I'm world champion once and not be like, I'm okay, I'm satisfied, and keep going. Even after he had the knee injury, still won the next year.
Yeah, it's a good question. But for me, and it's very simple to respond to this, because all my life I put the one goal there, and I work every day for this. I put a example. I have my goals and a long way, you know, but I have small goals, you know, between this journey. Example, Bushesh, the same thing he put on his head for the first thing. When Bushesh start with me, I could see Bushesh different of the other guys, but I didn't know that Bushesh will be Bushesh. Nobody in the world could see Bushesh will be Bushesh today. He'll break all the records, no? But the time passed, and I could see that he was really different, no? And because he fought. Today his fight is different than his style before when he trained with me, because he never put that time, no pressure. He fought all the positions, no, and he had a lot of transitions, sweep, takedown, quark passes, back takes, a lot of things. And today you can see he has a lot of pressure on the back, you know, and he 2 points and stop, don't move. And because it's a lot of pressure on him. He's the number one. Everybody wanna see he lose, you know? And he has a lot of pressure on him. It's too difficult. I understand the situation. But what I wanna explain that he had a strong mind ever. No, because when he make the plan before the tournament start, and we make our plans. All right, the goal this year is the World Championship, all right. But what more you need to do? No? Example, ADCC, Panams, no? And we work hard that. And many things happen between this way, you know? But how you control the focus there? Man, you control the focus there when you look back and you look, you understand where you're from. Who was Buchecha before? Who was Cavaca before? Look your story. Look you where you was. Look now where you are. You know. And all the time I work with the mind, with the of my competitors, my students. You know. And all the time I show stop, man. Why? Where is your motivation? Cavaca, Itália, Cavaca. Man, I want to stop. Man, a lot of guys said for me, Cavaca, I want to stop. Come on, man. Why you stop? No, because it's too difficult to, man, a lot of injuries, a lot of, I'm tired. Yeah. Come on, man. Wake up. Look what you do. What you're doing. No? Look at the story. Man, no look to, look inside. No? Think. Look at your family. Your family need your help, your family need the support. You can do this in the future. But if you stop now, you're gonna step back, you're gonna move there again, you're gonna live in that small house, you're gonna stay hungry every day like in the past, you know? And all the time I work with the mind, I put the guys, small things to remember about the past, you know, and I work every day with this, you know, because this I had all the time, I have a good connection with my students, you know, with my competitors. Many people ask me, Cavaca, how is very interesting, all the guys compete, all the guys when fight, you say some things the guy do, wait some things the guy do and it works. No, because yes, it's like a video game. No, it's like a game. You have a joystick on the hand and play. It's interesting because it's true. Because the guys, but how do this, man? I don't do this on the mat. I do this outside the mat. I do this every day on the outside the mat because we had a good relationship. Like family, like a good connection, man. The guys live in my house, like the guys stay in my house all day. No, the guys live together with me and they stay there that time and this time. We have a good relationship with the guys and I work on the mind because when you put the guys in the focus, man, the journey will be very difficult because it's gonna come, man. Big mountains to cross, you know, and if you alone, you can't cross over. You need to be strong. How are you gonna pass over? You're gonna pass over if you have a team, if you have a support, if you have good people around you, if you have good examples around you, you know. And like I explained for the guys, how you gonna get a good energy every day, man. To give you 100%, man, you need good people around you. You need good. You need to be in the best place, in the good place, good energy, positive energy every day, to survive on this journey, you know. And because if you stay around the bad people, man, how you got to get the energy, how to get power, man, it'll be impossible. You know, and I work like this every day. I work with my group. I work with my gym to have the best energy that I can. You know, the best energy because I know how it's difficult. But when these guys need it, they can get the energy from here, from the people around, from the group. No, everybody supports the group. No, the regular students, man, they love the competitors. They support the competitors. They pay trips, they pay tickets, they pay hotels, they give all the support because they feel their relationship. They live together. No, all the time, this was our difference from the other guys. The people don't understand because if you understand this, you need to stay here. You know, you need to be together. You need to live this. You know, and when you live giving your 100% every day, you know, sometimes you're gonna make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, when giving your 100%. The mistakes was you were trying to give your 100%, you know, and this the results, you have the results in the tournaments, you know. Everybody see the techniques on the tournaments, but that is the best moment for us. That is the party, you know. It's the tournament is the best part of the journey, man. Come on, if it was the tournament every weekend, I compete every weekend, no? But the problem is live every day here, give you 100% 2-3 times per day, you know? Injuries, family, money, you know? A lot of big situations happen between the journey. If you don't have a strong mind to survive, man, you stop. You break. 80% of the gold medal is here on the mind. 20% is all the other parts, all the other things, you know. And I discovered this young, you know, and because I start later, but young, but start later, but young for. I had my first example. I start teaching 70 years ago when I got my black belt, 7 years ago. And I was a leader with 23 years old. In my first academy, my first day when I start, I had 100 students, my first day, you know? And 100 students from a lot of academies from this my city. And the guys with 10 years more jiu-jitsu than me, man, come on, what a lot of pressure from the first day. Man, I started, but the pressure, I love pressure. I love it. When the guys put pressure, then I work, you know? I like my best moments, my best fights was in the finals of the World Championship and the Pyramid. I did 5 finals there, and it was the best fights, my best emotion, my best feeling there. I was in the finals because, man, 3,000-4,000 people looked to me there. Come on, man, this is my moment. I love pressure, you know, and I miss this feeling, but because it was very difficult to stop. Compete, but I need to change the key, you know. And but when you work for mind, for me, 80% of mind all the time. When you competitor, when you coach, when you leader, man, 80% of the all in my life was the mind. Is the mind for me, and I work my mind all my life. Sometimes I was weak, but today, example. I feel the best moment of my life. Today is my best day of my life. No, yesterday. No, today is my best day. Today I can, you have the best Kavaka in the whole story with today with 40 years old, you know? But how you stop compete, man? Come on, stop compete on the mat, but they still compete on the life, you know? Yeah, I have my best version here. No, and 10 years, you know, in the future, when I have 50 years old, I will be better than today, you know, and because I put my pressure here, I love this, I put my mind to work, it's a life, you know, and when you think about the evolution, yes, it's the problem for me if I look back and man, how is the best Kavaka in all the times for these 40 years? Man, come on. if I you'll be crazy if I said, oh no, the best Cavaca is 2010 when he won the world championship. Come on, man. Yeah, it was that moment was a good moment in my life. What? But one moment, just off one moment, special moment. Okay, I had a lot of special moments of my career, but the best Cavaca all the times is now, today. You know, when I have 40 years old, when I have a big team, the world Zenit team with a lot of affiliators, you know, 5,000 students around the world, you know, and I have my nice team here in Santos. I have a new team, nice team, São Paulo, you know, and man, it's I have my nice family. I have my nice feelings. I have the best students I had today, you know, and because this I live with all the time. I put the focus in my goals and it never stop.
We're going to call you up in 10 years time and see how you're doing.
Cavaca, this is absolutely stolen. We stole this from Victor Doria. He has a segment in his YouTube channel called Dez a Zero, and he asks about 10 questions that are really quick but really fun. So we want to ask you these.
All right.
And the first question is best fight of your life.
Best fight? The best fight of my life. Man, I respond to this this week in my Instagram when the guys ask you, who was the best fighter that you fought? I answer, me.
Wow.
When I learned that I could beat me, man, nobody can stop me.
Wow. Good answer.
What is the worst fight of your life? I think you kind of answered this, but yeah, what is the worst fight of your life?
Worst fight. Man, when I fought with Big Mac. this guy, I had it. Worst fight with him many times. I think this guy beat me 6 times. But he's a nice friend, right?
Coolest gym or academy you've been to?
Sorry?
The coolest, like the coolest gym you've been to.
See, yes. Man. I think that I had a good experience, but I think that it was the my academy. I think my academy here in Drysdale's academy, because why I say my academy here in Santos and Drysdale in Las Vegas, because because the energy, because I explained to you guys about the energy, the positive energy, you know, around our gym, our feelings, you know. I visit a lot of gyms, a lot of nice people, and a lot of nice academies, places, but I never felt energy like I feel here.
Cool. Your favorite food?
Food?
Yeah.
Man, fish.
Oh, nice. Something light, actually.
Everybody think that I say barbecue.
Yeah. We thought you were gonna say picanha.
I don't eat barbecue because it's a long digestion.
Good. Your favorite kimono, blue, white, or black?
Blue.
Wow. I'm team blue too.
Seen it.
Yeah, blue too. Your favorite style of music?
All the music. I say one. Man, rock.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
But I good all songs.
Cool. And last but not least, a dream you still want to accomplish.
Help how many people I can in the world using jiu-jitsu. I want to show the world what I learned in my journey. I still learn for all my life, but my main goal is travel around the world and show the people, support people, help people with the my experience in jiu-jitsu, you know. And I know that I when I still do this, change experience, you know. And and with my experience, I can give opportunity for the people live and change the mind and support and motivation people, you know, and support people who I can, you know. And that was this, man, support people, save people with jiu-jitsu around the world.
Cool. Couldn't get better than that.
Yeah.
Well, Rodrigo, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and talk to us.
Guys, it's my pleasure, and sorry for my poor English.
No, it's better than mine.
Pretty awesome.
It's definitely better than my Portuguese.
I'm studying every day, 30 minutes per day, but I'm studying.
We can tell. It's actually it's actually quite interesting. I think from all the countries that speak Portuguese, Brazil, because it's so big, people end up not speaking English at all. So I think it's even harder to practice. Yeah, like it's crazy.
No, but I need to study to be better, because like I explained the last question now, and my main goal is support people around the world, you know. And that's practice English every day because this, you know, how barriers my English, more people are gonna save.
That's beautiful.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, guys, thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm here when you guys need it. Text me. All right. And see you soon in Europe. Sure. All right.
Looking forward to it.
Good job, guys. Good job. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Cheers, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.